All right, our subject this morning is guidelines for personal meditation. I've been practicing meditation for many, many years, and most people have the wrong concept of what meditation is. What they describe is an art, but it's not meditation. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 18 and 19. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hither through?" And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? What to do? Well, we review the past for the patterns and for God's plan in your life. And our life are to reflect, and we are to reflect upon God. And when we reflect upon God, it is His greatness, His grace, His goodness. Focus on God, not on the difficulty. And meditation is really, how do we think? I believe that we choose what we think upon. Now, a lot of people would disagree with that, but there's a lot of thoughts that come to my mind and come to your mind. Do you entertain those thoughts, or do you immediately think of something else? Now, the art of meditation is to be able to control what you think upon. I don't have any control of the thoughts that come to my mind, but I do have control over the thoughts that I want to meditate upon, I want to think upon. And whether we understand it or not, I am what I think. Now, you know, that's not some foreign thought, but I become what I think upon. And what I think upon today will determine my kind of day. Now, we got to remember God's promises, which are, and I just list four of them here: peace, provision, protection, prosperity. Request is made before God in accordance with His will. We sometimes ask God for things that is not His will, and we get upset, we get discouraged, but it's not that God will not give those things to us, but the timing is not right. You know, there's children 10, 11, 12 years old. I'm sure that some of our young men, they drove a farm tractor, you know, when they were 8 or 9 years old. But they're not ready to get out on the highway. Now, they can think about that because I drive this tractor. It is good. I'm safe. You know, why can't I drive a car? And they can become hurt. They become malice. They begin to think, you know, my parents don't trust me. They don't have any confidence in me. It's not that they won't drive, but not at 8 years old or 9 years old. Well, when we're talking about we got to remember God's promises. If I'm not at peace, I'm not in the center of God's will, because God promised peace to those who are saved. Now, peace doesn't mean there's no trouble around us. Our president can be at peace, even though he's in a hospital with COVID. He can be at peace. Now, whether he chooses to do that or not, it's left up to him. But if, especially you and I, who, if I was to ask you, Brenda, are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? And I'd go around to everybody in this room, and we know we don't have to ask me, you don't have to ask a physician. There are certain things God don't want us to think about, because it will disturb us, and it'll cause us to do things that we normally wouldn't do. So when I say meditation, I start my mornings off, every morning off, how good God is to me and how I failed him. I want him to know that my life is good because of him. It's not good because of me. It can be better because of me if I think on the things I ought to think upon. But if I go back, yesterday was a bad day, so I go back and I pick up where I left off, and I start thinking that old silly stuff all over again, then today is going to be like yesterday. Now, ask yourself a question. So that's what I've said. If you listen, is that God's fault or my fault? Request is made before God in accordance with his will. You know, I believe I can tell Henrietta, Henry, anything that you need, God will provide. Now, a lot of people don't believe that, because they say, I've asked for a new car, I've asked for $1 million, I've asked for this. God didn't say he's going to give me everything I want. And so because he doesn't give me what I want, then I don't have any confidence in prayer. Stinking thinking. You think wrong, you'll act wrong. It's just that simple. Not hard to understand. Now, how to do it? What are the requirements? Well, let's look at Psalms 62. When we look at Psalms 62 and verse 5, the psalmist said, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectations is from him. Now, we have a lot of expectations. I've said this not to brag on myself or to put these men that I'm going to mention down, but I worked at IBM, and I worked on the line, you know, with college graduates. Why would a college graduate want to work on the line at IBM? Because they had a diploma, not an education. And many young men and women will graduate with a diploma and not a education. Is that God's fault? Don't think so. Well, God said here in the fifth verse, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectations is from him. We need to meditate upon how good God is. First of all, he saved me when I wasn't worth saving. He heals me when I wasn't worth healing. Now, if God died for me, and he did through his son Jesus Christ, you think he's going to let me starve to death? Do you think he's not going to give me a job if I'm out here looking for one? I don't believe that. So I meditate upon the goodness of God. And when bad things come into a life of a good person, I'm talking about a saved person, not good in the way that this world looks at good, but Christ paid the ultimate price, his life, for my life. You think God is not interested whether I have my daily food or not? Whether God is not interested whether I have a place to live and loved ones? They're all gifts.
Amen.
They're all gifts. And you can't work for a gift. And I learned that the first year I was your pastor in 1977 down on 2nd Street where Sister Rita used to live. When a gentleman stopped by and he said, I've got a country hymn for you. Now, what's the first thing if a stranger gives you something that you usually say? What can I give you for this? And that's what old ignorant me did. I said, what can I give you for this? He said, I thought you believe in grace. That's all he said. Have a Merry Christmas. Never forgot that. Never forgot that. Everything I have is a gift from God. You can't work for a gift, but you can be appreciative. And if I think that way, I thank God for every, I thank God, I look at myself and, you know, and my health problems over the years, but as the old saying, all I've been through, I'm in pretty good shape for the condition I'm in. So you thank God for that. You meditate upon that. I meditate each day how good God has been to me. I meditate that if I do what God tells me I should do, he will provide for me what I need. And don't run off with that last part. I believe the old saying, God helps those who help themselves, and sometimes God's helped those who don't help themselves. That's because he's a good God. When he saved me, and I wasn't helping myself. He saved me despite me. He's good to me despite me. So I want to meditate upon those things. I want to stop and think. Meditation is deep thinking. We may run on our feet, but should take time to walk in the Spirit. You know, there's a sense of you can be so busy, you don't appreciate what you're working for. I believe that also. You may not, I do. I believe you can be so busy, you don't appreciate what God's done for you. You know, busyness is an ideal of the devil, because if the devil can keep me busy, I don't have no time to pray. I don't have no time to meditate upon God. I don't have no time to say thank you, God, that I'm walking. But, you know, my sister took off my glasses here a few minutes ago, and you know what? These are strong, but I can see with them. I can see without them. I can see what time it is. You know why I see? Because God's been good to me.
Amen.
He led me to a place where I could get my eyes fixed. You said, what's it got to do with the meditation? God's going to give me everything that he wants me to have, despite me. So there's a season of time. So, as we said, we may run on our feet, but it should take time to walk in the Spirit. I'm talking about the requirements for meditation. First, there's a season of time. The psalmist said, "Be still and know that I'm the Lord." Number two, stillness. Stillness. You know, in Psalms 46, Psalms 46 and verse 10, the psalmist said here, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Now, do you say, "I look around and I don't see nobody exalting God." I do. The sun exalts God. The moon exalts God. It comes up and it goes down because God said it to. Whether I see it or not. Well, stillness. We need to be quiet and concentrate completely on God. Now, when I talk about meditation, you know, you meditate as long as you want to. But you tell me that every one of us in this building this morning don't have 5 minutes just to be still and thank God for what he's done for us. See, stillness is to be quiet and concentrate completely upon God. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite, probably my favorite holiday. But it's changed since the iPhone was invented. It has. My family gets together one time a year, and there's 10, 12 people there all. I feel like sometimes you've already seen me, you've wished me happy Thanksgiving, you've ate my food, now get out. Because he can't do without it for such a short period of time. But see, that's why we have a hard time being still. Be still and know that I'm the Lord. Number three is seclusion. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. And, you know, as we look at this now, in the 35th verse, in Mark 1, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed unto a solitary place, and there prayed." Who was that? He was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that had to spend some time talking to his Father. And he did it in a secluded place. And I've heard people, "Oh, Pastor, I'm not like you. I can pray anywhere." Can you? You've been blessed. I don't argue with them. There's difference between saying words and praying. But God said we need to get along with our Father and be lovingly. So, seclusion is not bad. But it's only for a time. So I choose personally to, and it works fine with me. It probably wouldn't work fine for y'all, you know, because if I go to bed at 10 o'clock or if I go to bed at 2 o'clock, I wake up no later than 5. If it's 5 after 5, I've overslept. What have I got to do? I don't have nothing to do until 8 or 9 o'clock, so I could, but that's just my makeup. My wife, on the other hand, can sleep to 8 or 9 o'clock, so I've got a 2 or 3, 4 hour period there that I don't want to wake her up. What a beautiful time to study, to pray, and to meditate. Silence. You know, silence sometimes is good. But this generation in which we live in don't know anything about silence. You know, they... And there are individuals that I don't apply to. We know that. But God said in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15, Isaiah the 30th chapter and the 15th verse, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not." In other words, God told them what to do to renew their strength, but they would not. Silence, you know. He said, you know, when you learn to pray and you learn to meditate, silence is a beautiful sound. You know, we went on vacation about 5 years ago down to Smokies, and it was a beautiful place, a beautiful cabin, but it was about a 45-minute drive from our cabin, you know. Not that it was that long. You know, you had to kiss you back in about 14,000 times, it seemed like. But, man, it was nice back there. You couldn't hear anything, you know, just some wild animals or something, but you heard no traffic, no nothing. You know, now a lot of people say, that's a waste of vacation. Well, it is to some, but to me, that's a beautiful vacation. But I'm learning the silence. See, we learn most by listening to him. And how can you listen to him if there's not silence? David said, "Be still and know that I'm the Lord." Now, I'm just talking about, you know, and I know people say, you know, teach me how to meditate, and, you know, and I visualize what they're thinking, you know, but that's not meditation. Meditation is not getting in a certain position and going through acts, and you know, you've got some of the martial arts that does that, and you know, and I've took martial arts, but that's not what meditation is. It's getting away with you and your Lord. You can do it in your house, you can do it at different places, but you know, silence. We learn most by listening to him. You know, Brenda knows who my neighbors are. And they're, you know, like most parents, you know. I want my 4-year-old to be a teenager. When my teenagers become a teenager, I want them about 4, you know. But they bought her a bicycle, a little training wheels, you know, and she's the cutest little thing. It can do anything, but she was scared to death of that bicycle. So finally she looked at her mother and she said, "Get me off of here, put me in the house, and I don't want to ever see this thing again." So, you know, a bicycle for a 4 or 5 year old is good for some 4 or 5 year olds, and for the others, it's the worst thing ever happened to them. And that's the same way it is about being silent. You can learn more by being silent than you can talk. And that's why my teacher always said, Tom, hush. Or Betty, hush. We got to be still and know who God is. Now, number five is the big one. Self-control. And you ask the average person, are you in control of yourself? I most certainly am. I'm in control of every thought, everything that I do. You're in control of everything except your thinking. God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Good advice. If I'd give Tom advice, then I ought to be practicing that when needed on myself. Because self-control is that when we need to discipline self to obey God, period. I don't know who does. I'm not going to ask you this, and it's my concern because I love you, because I know that you've got to pray daily, you are to read daily, you are to be thankful daily before you can grow the way that you should grow, the way God wants you to grow. And to do that, you've got to have self-control, you know. And especially you that, work, and you that got other responsibilities, you know, it's a little harder. But when we talk about meditation, it is to do that, you got to have a season of time. So, this is my meditation time. You can call it your quiet time. You can call it whatever you want to, but it's a time that it's just you and God. And to do that, you got to have some self-control. And to have self-control, I believe that God tells us very clearly, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Least that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, if you curse, you can't tell somebody else to not curse. I mean, it's foolish. If you're not faithful with the Lord's work, how can you get on somebody else for not being faithful? And if I don't meditate, which I do and which I have practiced, because that's part of me, y'all may never do it. I'm just telling you from a standpoint of experience, you're losing out. Now, you can call it quiet time, you can call it prayer time, call it whatever you want to. It don't. But there's got to be a time during that day somewhere which says you and God. The sixth step is sensitive. You know, we got to realize that God loves you. That's the reason he saved you. That's why it's so important that your children know that you love them. You know. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. You know, why this is so important, because you never know when you've got a call on it. And if you have someone in your home or someone you know, that it's important that you be ready, that you be sensitive to their need. So, you know, in my position, you know, I'm very sensitive to know that if my wife fell, she could not get up by herself. That's just facts. I'm not feeling sorry for me. It's just the way it is. So I want to be able to pray at any time for my wife. And I really don't get excited about what anybody may think, if they think, because I'm a firm believer that most people, including me, have a hard time thinking. We just go along the way things are. But if I'm sensitive to the fact that we are blessed when we are attentive, tender, and loving toward God, think about it. Jesus loved who more than anybody? I think it was John, wasn't it? Now, why did Jesus love John more than he did Peter? He said, oh, that's so unfair, is it? Why do you love your husband or wife more than somebody else's husband or wife? See, the problem is when we love somebody else's husband or wife more than we love our own husband or wife. That's where the problem is. Not that we shouldn't love our own husband, our own wife. And we are to love Jesus more than anything. And any time that I disappoint Jesus, that ought to affect me. So I'm sensitive to what? Well, according to Proverbs 8 and verse 34, you know, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. And if I have a special time a day, I can pray any time. But I'm going to have, I want that special time. Every one of y'all practice. Every once in a while, I'll get a text. My wife and I are going to be out of town for 4 days. Or y'all call it date night, you know. You go out and have a lunch, just you and your husband and wife. I think those things are great myself. But don't put your husband or wife before God. When is your quiet time with God? When it's just me and God. And then number 7 is submission. You know, James chapter 4, James the 4th chapter, when we look at James, or really any portion of Scripture that's in the Bible, we can look at it and we can see. But in James chapter 4 and verse 7, God says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I believe that's just as powerful as John 3:16. I don't see any difference in that scripture in John 5:24. You know, so when people come in, tell me I've had a bad day, the devil's been on my back all day long, I don't feel sorry for you. I pity you. Because all you got to do is ask the devil to get off. You start quoting scripture, you start praising God, and the devil's going to run. So you're in control. So it's important that you understand that. So the last part, you know, it's just, why do it? What are the rewards? There is a greater perspective from on high. Pressure dissipates. He pulls the plug. Have you ever been such upset? And you said, I can't pray when I'm upset. Why change you? He that is in you is stronger and mightier than he that's in the world. You've never done it before. What you're asking, God, you take care of this thing and then I'll praise you. No, you need to talk through it. Talk to the Lord through it. Pressure dissipates because he pulls the plug, see. You got to have the initiative. I don't like this. So, Lord, I'm going to praise you. Peace, that passive understanding. How can you have peace? Because you're going through that situation. You either brought it on yourself or God is allowing that to make you stronger. You decide which. I mean, anytime I have a bad day, God is either showing me something or he's getting my attention because I didn't do what I know to do, because God said, he that knoweth to do good and do it not. Isn't that what James said? If you know to do good and you do it not, it's sin. You think God's going to bless you in your sin? You know, I wonder sometimes when I talk to people, what have you been taught? Get rid of the sin and God will bless you. We think about sin, well, I don't, you know, I don't do, you pick out the worst five things in the world and you say, I don't do that. But are you ungrateful? Are you unthankful? You know, I mean, we could go on and on and on. Peace at passive understanding. You know what my peace is? That nothing can happen in my life or my wife's life. I even believe this, and you can probably won't laugh out loud, but you'll chuckle. A doctor told me, you know, my dog didn't have too awful long to live. And I told Dr. Rice, him and our buddies, appreciate the advice, but my dog is not going to die until God says it's alive. And people just laugh at me. If God is not in control of the animal, what makes you think he's in control of you? He created the animals. Now, you know, I'm not going out in a visitation and, you know, it's tell them that because I preach grace, they already think something wrong with me. But positive attitude, his attitude, personal intimacy, joining with him in spirit-to-spirit closeness. You can feel when God is with you. I mean, some of you have told me when you leave, yeah, it was a good service, I felt God here. Why is you feel that way sometime and not all the time? Maybe I wasn't preaching what I should have preached in a way that I should have preached, but it can be that you were not receptive. you know, purified by God. He shows you what to change and enables you to do it. When you pray about, Lord, show me, reveal to me why I have a hard time doing what I know I should do. You ever ask him that? That's what meditation is all about. When you meditate upon your problems and how you know that God can make them better. Praying, we usually pray in, you know, how many of you spend 15, 20 minutes praying for yourself? Very few people do. Nothing wrong with it if you do. But we spend our time praying for everybody else. But if I don't keep my life in tune with God, I'm not going to be any good to anybody else. That's where meditation comes in. Got to make sure me and God are on the right track. You know, so passion for obedience, submissive, eagerness for mature process. And then number 8, power of God in your life. He becomes your motivation, your strength, your love, your life. See, God is the only one that can keep me alive. Think about that.